Hello, podcast listener. You're listening to a Halford and Brough podcast, and I'm using my podcast voice. You can listen to us on Google, Apple, Spotify. It's the Halford and Brough podcast, and thank you for listening.
7:02 on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Brough of the Morning is brought to you by the Dulari family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dulari difference today by visiting your nearest Dulari Acura dealer today. Hour one in the books. Download the podcast. Apple, Google, Spotify. What do we do to that subscribe button, guys?
Smash it.
That's
smash
right.
The bell icon, too.
That's right. That's the reminder on Spotify.
Correct. On Spotify, if you smash the bell icon, you'll get notified every time we post an episode.
If you go to Apple, make sure that you also subscribe and leave a colorful review. Okay? Can you do that?
Are we going to stand with Neil Young or Joe Rogan?
Ooh, tough call.
I bet you Spotify is going to stand with Joe Rogan.
Yeah, probably. I, that being said,
In case you're wondering what we're talking about, Neil Young came out and said, you can either keep my music or you can keep Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
Said that to Spotify.
Yeah. And I think his whole catalog taken off.
Yeah, and I think Spotify is probably going to be like, okay, we'll go with Joe Rogan.
Probably. But hey, there's no more Neil Young. Does that mean we can... No, we can't use any Neil
Young. That means we can't use any.
Is there an end around here somewhere? Maybe no. We can put it on the Apple version or something like that?
Could we use Joe Rogan singing a Neil Young song?
I think we could, actually.
Your last name's Gorelli?
Who would want to hear that?
Well, I don't know. Nobody.
He's the songbird of our generation.
Joe Rogan
and Thomas Strantz, the songbirds of our generation. Okay, we got a lot to get into in this hour of the program. We're going to be joined by Canucks backup goalie, Canucks e-bug, one of the many e-bugs, Ryland Toth, UBC goalie, is going to join us. So he got a pretty cool experience on Sunday getting to sit on the bench behind Mikey DiPietro in a 3-1 loss to the St. Louis Blues. We'll ask him all about that. That's going to be coming up in about 10 minutes' time. We haven't got a chance to get into the JT Miller story from yesterday. So Jason Brough's endless campaigning to get JT Miller, the Canucks' best player, traded, has finally come to fruition because now everybody is in on it. Actually, we had Frank Saravalli on our program last week. A reminder, Frank will be on with us on Thursday. And Frank kind of said, yeah, there's definitely legs to this on a variety of fronts. One is, I think the obvious is the Canucks are looking at everything not named Demko or Hughes. Two, there are interested suitors in JT Miller. So yesterday on Canucks Central, also known as Canucks in the Afternoon, as it's known on the Halford and Brough Show, Frank went on and dropped some more nuggets on who might be interested in Miller and what the future might have in store. We've got 2 1-minute-long clips. We're just going to loop them back-to-back. Listen up, Frank Saravalli, on a potential JT Miller trade.
It's hard to say. I think it could be a little bit more than what you said, a highly touted prospect. I think when you look at some of the first-round picks that have been given up, just think back to Nick Foligno last year. It was, what, a first and 2 fourths that the Toronto Maple Leafs paid. And, like, Nick Foligno was an expiring contract. You know, you look back at Blake Coleman or Barkley Goodrow, the sort of missing pieces, the first-round picks that were given up. You know, I think JT Miller is sort of in that middle ground between Eichel and those deals. In which the Vancouver Canucks have something pretty exciting on their hands. And by the way, since I did kick the hornet's nest previously when talking about the Rangers and JT Miller, like they're certainly not the only team that I think has expressed some significant interest in JT Miller. The other three teams that I've heard that have been on his list include the Boston Bruins, the Minnesota Wild, and the Calgary Flames. So I wonder, you know, does something like an intradivisional deal, is that possible in Calgary? Should we continue the pipeline from Vancouver to Calgary that's already started? I say some of that tongue-in-cheek, but point being, there's lots of teams that are interested in JT Miller and not just one in the New York Rangers. You know, he's produced at such an elite level for a really long time, basically the day that he arrived in Vancouver, that, you know, it's not like you could maybe look at, you know, a Hurdle who's a talented player in his own right, who just happens to be having a really good contract season. I mean, Miller has been really consistent and all the way through, and it's that extra year the potential two kicks at the can with JT Miller in terms of, you know, playoff opportunities that I would think would really help drive up that value.
So Rick Dhaliwal spoke to Jim Rutherford and asked Rutherford about the JT Miller trade rumors, and via Dolly's Twitter, here is what Rutherford said on Miller. Miller is our best forward. I really like him. Teams will call, but when we have more voices, i.e. we've hired a general manager and maybe another assistant general manager, we can make those decisions.
Dun, dun, dun.
So what I took from that is the Canucks are open like to ideas right now, as they should be. Mm-hmm. They're trying to turn themselves into a Stanley Cup contender, not just a team that can maybe make the playoffs. And trading a player as good as JT Miller is, if you have to take a step back and gamble on taking two steps forward, that's something you have to consider. Now, is it a gamble? Yeah, of course it's a gamble.
Well, I think something really interesting here, just in that quote, is you got to remember, Jim Rutherford has been on the job for, what, 6-8 weeks? He is completely new to this situation. He has no ties to anything from the previous regime. You and I have spoken on a number of occasions about just how far outside mm-hmm. the familia that the Canucks went on this one. Jim Rutherford was way far removed from this. He has no ties to anyone. The previous regime, the JT Miller trade, was one of maybe the biggest trades of Jim Benning's 8-year reign as Canucks general manager. It was a signature move.
It was a feather in their cap.
That has changed. The perceptions around that have changed. This isn't to say that it still shouldn't be a feather in the cap. Miller's an awesome player.
Mm-hmm.
I really like him. I think he's a bona fide 1C. I think you can win with him. But I am also very cognizant of all the things that we've laid out, and I don't need to rehash them because we have to talk to Ryland Toth soon, and we can get onto some new things. However, it's important to note that Rutherford, who's only been on the job for a little while, said, you know what? We're going to get even fresher set of eyes in here mm-hmm. to take a look at this. So maybe he's suggesting that his, and I don't want to call it a bias, but maybe his objectivity has been clouded a bit because he's been here for almost 2 months and really likes JT Miller. Now, that's not a bad thing, but I think it speaks.
You can really like the player and still come to the conclusion that the best thing to do is to move him.
This is what we've said from day one about any deal with the Canucks, is you can talk about it out loud, and it doesn't mean you're advocating for it. It's just exploring the possibilities and looking pragmatically at what the big picture is. But people tend to want to hear what they want to hear, and people want to, again, I use the term like siloing things off and being polarizing. You're either house of negativity or house of positivity. You're either you love the players or you want to get rid of all of them. And I'm looking at you, but I'm not saying you, Jason Brough. I'm just saying the general you. And that's the easy way to look at it. But it's not. This is way more complex. For example, if they trade Miller, I don't know what it does to the team. I know it takes away a lot of points and a play-driving guy and a guy that at times has really picked this team up by the bootstraps and has shown a fire and a passion. Sometimes creeps into negativity, but is also something I think that they needed it a lot of times this year. I really like him as a player.
But what
really,
happens?
Really like him.
But what happens if you get? And I agree with all of that. But what happens if you get in return? Let's say they do a deal with the Rangers, right? And you get that Schneider kid, who's a good right shot young defenseman,
mm-hmm.
And you get a first round draft pick. What if you get that?
What happens if you get even more?
Then all of a sudden, well, let's just say you've got that. Even more would be awesome. Let's say you get a good young right shot defenseman because the Canucks don't have those in the organization.
Uh-huh.
And then you go into this summer's draft with two first round picks.
Yeah.
How different does the future? How much better does the future look at that point? Then
I mean, you got to hit on the picks.
At those positions,
you
hit
on the picks, but point
but
taken.
That's the thing. Yeah, yeah. That's the gamble.
Yeah.
Right, that's the gamble. Like the Miami Dolphins, if we're going to make a comparison there, they racked up all sorts of first-round draft picks, and they didn't hit on the picks.
They hit on some, but they blew the biggest one, which was Tua. They picked the
wrong
quarterback.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, here's the funny thing. We get a lot of texters. Our good buddy.
But there's no certainty.
Our good buddy Diener is always like, you guys are always trying to trade current active roster players for picks and prospects. Those guys might not pan out. Yeah. That's the risk. It's the risk you take. We are fully cognizant of that. However,
but there's risk.
There's a philosophical approach. If you don't take any risks and you keep the guys that you have, you run the risk of...
That's a risk in itself.
You run the risk of your competitive window not lining up properly. And also, these guys go to free agency and they walk. That's the risk.
Or the risk is actually that you turn JT Miller, or let's just use any player, you turn what was once an asset into an actual liability because you sign a player who's getting older to a big contract that suddenly becomes unmovable.
Everything is kind of fraught with risk. That's the thing. That's what I think everyone needs to understand here is it ends up being one big gamble. One of the things, I mean, I know Drantz gets a lot of blowback for the way that he looks at things, but he's always been very consistent. He's like, the whole thing is one big gamble. Your job is to try and get the most information in front of you, the smartest people working for you, and then try and get as many chips in the pot as you can.
Like, you don't think
so
it was
you
a,
can play.
You don't think it was a gamble, for example, when the Penguins added Phil Kessel? Or you don't think it was a gamble when the Kings added Jeff Carter? Like, the gambles are made.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll
and that's what the Rangers are going to be thinking, right? It'll be a gamble for them because they might be giving up quite a bit for something that might not happen for them.
Right. And, you know, it's funny when you talk about...
One team wins out of 32 teams. Mm-hmm. You better take gambles.
And the funny thing is you talk about teams that have laid down the money and extended guys that have done things for them in the past and they become enamored with. A team that just came through town, the St. Louis Blues. I don't know how many people are paying attention to this, but the Blues are right in the middle of a goalie controversy because Jordan Binnington, who, by the way, is in the first year of a six-year extension, has kind of lost the net to Greg Ballack's favorite Finnish goalie, Ville Husso, who we saw on Sunday night.
Yeah, we sure did.
He was great. Mm-hmm. Did you not think? Like, I know that the Canucks didn't have their A-game finishers out there, but he played really well. The Blues are now faced with a conversation that I don't think anyone envisioned a couple years ago when Binnington was leading to the Stanley Cup. It's Ville Husso's on the verge of becoming an unrestricted free agent. He's playing better than Jordan Binnington, and Jordan Binnington's contract sure doesn't look good right now. Like, I would say there's an argument to be made that you saw the best that Jordan Binnington is ever going to give you, and it's when he won you a Stanley Cup. But the Blues made a decision to make him their guy. Right? It's like, he's done it for us. He's proven. We're going to give him that extension. Right? And I only bring this back to the Miller thing because it's a similar conversation the Canucks have had. The Canucks could extend JT Miller and he could be great for three or four more years, five more years, six more years. Hell, he could be like Ovechkin and keep scoring well into his late 30s. All of these things are on the table. But it could also go the other way. That's the risk involved. And that's what makes it so much fun to talk about, to be honest. Because when you bring it up, you're like, yeah, they're going to be giving away a guy that's like a 90-point producer. You just don't snap your fingers and replace that.
And here's the thing. We can disagree on the gamble. That's why there's sports betting. That's why we make bets. Right? Someone who's smart and considers all the factors could come to a different conclusion than someone who is also smart and considers all the factors. It's all just about the different weight you put on different factors. Like, for example, and maybe this is a bias of mine that I do look at it, but I am very wary of giving contracts to players that are approaching 30, right? And my evidence would be Louis Erickson and all the players that were around his age that signed free agent contracts that year who were good players and then slowed down significantly. Mm-hmm. To the point that those contracts are just they're I can't say untradeable, but hard to trade, and cost a lot of money to trade.
There were some buyouts,
like there were some buyouts, and then the Coyotes collected the rest of them, right?
Yep.
So I'm hesitant to do that, but other people would be like, yeah, I'm willing to take the gamble on an older player because I think that this player and hey, you know what? Some of them work out and some of them don't, but those are the factors that I weigh. And I'm trying to weigh them in line with what the Canucks need, but also what their Stanley Cup window is. Some people will look at this team and say, I think the Canucks can win the Stanley Cup in 2 years. Well, as they're currently constructed, if they just keep bringing back the same guys and keep re-signing guys and like, all right, they'll keep Besser and keep Miller and keep Horvat, keep all these guys and then work around the edges, they think, you know, if they do that, They're not going to be Stanley Cup contenders. I think they need to do more.
On the subject of the Vancouver Canucks, our next guest served as the emergency goalie, backing up Mikey DiPietro on Sunday against St. Louis. Joining us now, UBC netminder, Vancouver Canucks e-bug, Rylan Toth, here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Rylan. How are you?
Morning, guys. I'm good. How are you doing?
We're good. Thanks for taking the time to do this. It's early, and I know this has been a whirlwind sort of 48 hours for you, ascending to the backup role in Vancouver. What have the last 48 hours been like for you? Because you've gained a lot of national attention. You're on the cover of NHL.com. I imagine it must have been a bit of a whirlwind, but put it in perspective for our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Happened pretty quick, and kind of the aftermath was my phone kind of blew up from some friends and family and some people I don't know. But it was just a really fun experience from kind of when I got to the rink till when I left it. All the guys treated me really nice, and it was awesome.
How much was fun? Like, if you can break it down, how much was fun and what percentage of it was a little bit terrifying?
I think mostly fun. I think, you know, I didn't try and look at it as though I was, I get that there's a certain amount of professionalism that these guys bring, and I didn't want to go in and act like a beer league hockey player, you know. but at the same time, they have a job to do, and so I just wanted to stay out of the way and just somewhat be focused and also just really soak it in, because, you know, I think about like what a 10-year-old version of me would think of this, and he would probably say, soak it in as much as you can. So it's pretty much what I tried to do.
Now, I noticed you mentioned this earlier, and I wanted to bring it up because it's an important part of this whole thing, is that this isn't a David Ayers-type situation. You're not a 40-year-old Zamboni driver that got thrown in there. You have aspirations to still try and play at the next level after UBC. So talk a little bit about where you were prior to UBC, how things have gone on campus, and then what's next for Rylan Toth, because the story probably doesn't end here.
Yeah, I hope not. I played in the Western Hockey League for 3 years, was able to be a starter for all 3 years, played in Red Deer for two of them, and then was traded to the Seattle Thunderbirds for a year. Had played on some really good teams, at both places. I think I weren't ready to be a pro at the time, of finishing it in the WHL. So, that's where I looked at university options, and made a lot of sense to go and try and get my degree. And I had heard good things about university hockey, and was pretty surprised when I got TBC and saw how good the hockey actually was. And also just on the other side of that, I think going to university allowed me to become a bit more well-rounded of a person, for sure. Just experiencing different things outside of hockey while still playing pretty competitive hockey. I think that's been an experience that I really, really value. And for the future, just trying to set myself up to play in as good of a pro league as I can. And that's kind of where I'm at.
You guys are having a pretty good year at UBC too. You're talking to a UBC alumnus. My co-host here went to SFU, who you guys blasted earlier in the season. Do you want to give a little shout out to some of your teammates? Because you guys are playing some good hockey. Did you just have a series against, was it Calgary? And you split that series, and Calgary's a pretty good team too. What have you got coming up?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a decent weekend for us. We've had a lot of success so far, which has been great. We're off to Regina this weekend, and then Mount Royal the weekend after that, out in Calgary, and then one more weekend against Trinity Western, and then into playoffs. So, you know, yeah, it's a short season for sure for us, and you know, just looking forward to seeing it play out because we have quite a good team this year.
Ryland, I want to thank you for taking the time to do this. We really appreciate it. Congrats on what was a really cool experience with the Canucks. Best of luck with everything moving forward. Hopefully your pro career takes off after you're done at UBC.
Right on, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. That's Ryland Toth, former backup goalie of the Vancouver Canucks. I guess we're going to find out soon what the situation for tonight is going to be. Now, Jim Rutherford mentioned yesterday on Donnie and Dolly, talking to Rick Dollywall, said they anticipate that Demko and Miller are going to be released from COVID-19 protocols. However, that needs to be finalized. And if that's the case, I think it comes down to a lot of things like, are they going to get enough skating time in? They've only been off ice for a few days, but they have missed a couple of games. I assume this would mean that DiPietro moves back to the number two chair and sits behind Demko, assuming he can go. So there's still a lot kind of bubbling in the ether about whether or not these things are going to happen. Of course, it'll all happen after we're off the air, because that's what happens on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We got a lot more to get to on the program. A friendly reminder to get your What We Learns in right now. Hashtag them WWL. What did you learn over the last 24 hours in sports? It's your chance to be on the radio. That's going to be coming up at 8:30. Reminder, Drancer is coming up at 8, where we will get into everything that happened yesterday with the Vancouver Canucks. No practice on ice. Off ice, a lot of big news, including the hiring of Emily Castonguay. We'll talk to Drancer about that. Also, what comes next with regards to hires within Jim Rutherford's new look front office. There's a lot to get to. This is your home of the Canucks. It is the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. On a Tuesday. Are we having a day or what, everybody? Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. There's so much stuff going on behind the scenes of the Halford and Brough show right now. You people don't even know. You people have no idea. It's crazy times.
I need another coffee. I need four more coffees.
That won't do it. That'll get you more jittery.
That's true, actually.
It's just one of those days. You know, you have one of those days.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the coffee mug. It's like filled with coffee, right? Like it's, you know, it's got the message on it where it's like, I'm fed up with everything. Just give me my Java. That's kind of the day we're having here.
I want a Garfield mug that says, I hate Tuesdays.
Yes. Yes. Maybe an Odie mug, because Garfield's got claim to Mondays. Anyway, it's been a day, but thank you all for plugging along with us here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Some challenging times, but as always, we like to see the lighter side of things. Big final 90 minutes of the show coming up. We're going to talk to Thomas Drance at 8 o'clock. No shortage of news from the Vancouver Canucks. We had the big hire yesterday, Emily Castonguay in as the assistant general manager. So for those keeping track at home now, since arriving as the Poho, the president.
I like that. The Poho.
The Poho. Are we not using that?
We're not. Is that no good?
No, I want that.
Poho.
I want that.
Poho Jim Rutherford.
Poho Jim Rutherford.
I mean, we do SCOTUS and POTUS and
yeah,
FLOTUS.
Exactly.
Why can't we do Poho?
He just needs a gum.
I just right. need you to.
An agum.
The next agum. Time you have him on the show,
Poho?
I need you to introduce him as Poho Jim Rutherford, joining us now on Halford and Brough.
Poho is the president of hockey operations, in case anybody's wondering.
Right.
It's not some clever nickname for Jim Rutherford.
Mm-hmm.
But since he's come in.
Or if, you know how sometimes you take the, you shorten the acronym and you take like little words and you don't include them like of, president of hockey operation,
right.
You just call him Foe.
Foe, or the PHO. But there was already Foe. A PHO, isn't there? A Foe. That's Dom's restaurant idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
a Vancouver-based restaurant
right,
called
okay.
604. Yeah, even though it's pho. I don't want to be that guy, but proper pronunciation is important. It's one of my strengths as a broadcaster, guys. The Halford and Bruff Show in the morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Do we have Jason on the line right now? Okay, great. One of the annual events that always brings some of the biggest stars to Vancouver is the annual JCC Sports Dinner. This year is no different. A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, is going to be the keynote speaker. Joining us now from the JCC Sports Dinner, Jason Takaf. Min. There we go. I got it right.
Did you?
I did. I also got a pause in the middle of it. Joins us now on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Good morning. You did say pronunciation is pretty important, so very good for you guys.
I've been working on it all morning. As you can see, the results were mediocre at best. Did I get it right?
Story. Yeah, kind of. It's a tricky one. There should be a C before the K, but whatever. Potato, potato. True story. Growing up, yes. I actually did have a Garfield and Odie Tupperware set, like when I was a kid.
Really?
Like those things exist. So Garfield's tail is like where you dip, like you put the ketchup on the side.
That is awesome. Did you have the
it
books?
Was phenomenal.
I had probably like all the books, I think.
We should talk after.
What's that?
We should compare notes and talk after.
Yeah, we should. We can do a reading together.
Okay, let's focus on the task at hand here, the JCC Sports Dinner. A couple things we want to get to, but I guess we got to start. The keynote speaker of this thing is always pretty cool. It's always a high-profile guy, and no different this year. Alex Rodriguez is going to be coming to town. Tell us a little bit about how you managed to land A-Rod and what we can expect at the JCC Dinner.
Yeah, we've really put an emphasis on experience, and it's one of the reasons why we've been sold out for 10-plus years, obviously, extracting last year. With COVID, where we did everything virtual. A-Rod's a pretty impressive person. Like, he's very open about admitting steroid use, which I think makes him one of the few people who did that. And I think it's been able to help him recover. He's a part owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. He was on Shark Tank. He was on Sunday Night Baseball. He was a special instructor for the Yankees, and he's on Fox Sports 1. He's won an Emmy. He's a very impressive person. He's a great speaker. One of the things we learned with having Shaquille O'Neal 5 years ago and then Magic Johnson last year is that it's such a business crowd, and people want to hear the sports stories, but they also want to hear about sort of the forks in the road they took in the boardroom. And they want to hear the forks in the road they took with their money, because now obviously athletes have made a ton of money as opposed to, you know, athletes we had 20 years ago who didn't make that much money in sports. But now they have a lot of money. They're very interested in the business world. And I think we're going to get sort of a peek behind the curtain of what makes A-Rod such a sort of a great investor and business mogul.
Where is the money being made in sports now? I know you invest in and advise sports. Do you invest in startups? What do you invest in, and where's the money in sports?
So I personally invest in customer service apps that deal directly from businesses to consumers, so that have an emphasis on customer service, because I think despite all the technology and all that stuff, there still needs to be a human side. But to answer your other question, the money in sports, I mean, is in live TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw this weekend with the NFL. I mean, if that wasn't the best commercial for why Amazon, YouTube, Google, Facebook, Netflix, everyone's going to be involved in sports, is you had the greatest soap opera ever times four, and you didn't have to plan. You didn't have to have any script writers. You didn't have to have any second takes. You didn't have to have any, secondary actors. It was just plug and play. And that's where the money is. It's in live sports. It's only going to get even more pronounced. It's only going to get even more, accentuated, especially as, let's be realistic, NHL is probably going to expand their playoffs in some capacity, whether it looks like a play-in for the NBA, and that might not be this year, but it may be down the road. NFL will ultimately and inevitably go to 18 games. The money's in live sports, and we saw a perfect example last weekend.
How will it be delivered? Because, I mean, money in live sports, there's been money in live sports for a while now. Now, it is PVR proof, which is, you know, that's kind of been the common refrain that people want to watch it live. So the advertisers can hit a large audience. If they want to do a national advertising campaign, they can hit live sports. And unlike anything else where people, like, I don't even know what time shows are on now, like my dramas or whatever I watch, because I just PVR and watch them later. If there's commercials, I skip through them. I don't do that with sports. But how will the delivery of sports on live TV be different going forward?
I think you're still going to see traditional cable companies save their bacon by still, you know, signing extensions and broadcasting live sports. I think you're going to see a strong activation towards secondary screens and even third screens, whether it's for gambling or discussion or community-oriented stuff, or secondary broadcasts where you have, let's say, a former player talking, where you have, let's say, what ESPN did with college football, where you have like five different perspectives, which I think is brilliant. Obviously, like with a Steve Dangle broadcast, like what you guys did for the Leafs. Mm-hmm. With the Leafs Press. I think it's just going to get more creative, more experiential, and more a simulation and a replication of what people like. And what people like is the community aspect of sports. You can, if you can follow along with an influencer, and I hate that word, but if you can follow along with an influencer, it'll work. I mean, you look at, you know, Joe Rogan did a, he watches UFC fight nights and just turns the camera on, and him and his friends watch the UFC for like 5 hours, and you're watching them, and you can watch along with them. Like, that's, I believe that will be part of the future experience.
We're speaking to Jason Tackerman from the JCC Sports Dinner here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Okay, three things we also need to touch on for the JCC Sports Dinner, Jason. One, virtual tickets. Two, the raffle. And three, 2022 Jack Diamond Award honoree Corey Hirsch. I'll give you the floor. Go ahead and let our listeners know about everything.
We'll start with the last and perhaps the most important. The Jack Diamond Award winner was really designed to honor the great people that have built the sports community here in BC. You guys, you both of you know from personal experience, no one has done it better than Corey Hirsch. It was really, his own vulnerabilities and own struggles and own life experiences has really kicked down the door to talking about mental health and made the sports world and ultimately our community a safer place to talk about people, about their own struggles. It's remarkable. We really look forward to honoring him. He's going to do an amazing job with his speech, and it's really going to add a lot of teeth to the Jack Diamond Award with all the other great winners: Jim Robson, Charmaine Crooks, Greg Douglas, Noah Kanter. The list goes on and on of the great people who built the sports community here. We only have virtual tickets remaining because we are sold out at the Downtown Vancouver Hyatt. Virtual tickets are $36. You can get them at JCC Sports Dinner as well. We are giving away, we have a 50-50 draw, which will be announced at the actual dinner. We are also giving away a 2022 Luxury XT5 SUV, courtesy of Duick Auto Group. And you want to talk about community leadership, Maury Keith has donated two cars to us to help us recoup some of the funds we've lost due to COVID. It's one of the most remarkable displays of leadership I've seen. Maury Keith, also a former Jack Diamond Award winner, but he donated a car. We had a car raffle earlier this fall, and now we're going to have one live at the event also. It's very special, and he's a great member of our community.
We are less than a month away from the 29th annual JCC Sports Dinner, February 23rd of this year, 2022, featuring keynote speaker Alex Rodriguez. Hey, Jason, thanks a lot for doing this today, man. We really appreciate it. Best of luck with
Thank
everything. We'll do this again soon, and we'll talk about Garfield and Odie and Nurmal and all our favorites.
Amazing. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Thanks, Jason Tackerman from the Halford and Brough Show. Well, he's from the JCC Sports Dinner on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Thomas Drance is going to join us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about the Canucks' new hires and what else they need to hire.
You will continue your...
Who else they need to hire.
Your propaganda campaign of trying to trade JT Miller away from the club. It's gaining legs, Jason. It's really gaining steam now. You're rolling your eyes. You don't like it when I frame it this way.
No, I wasn't. I was just sneezing.
Also,
and I'm trying not to sneeze again. Hold on a sec.
Let's talk about it.
So here's the thing, Halford.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes I get on you. I don't do it as much, but I pick on you a little bit because you don't have like hard opinions. Like if you were to ask me,
okay,
should the Canucks be trying to investigate the market for JT Miller and consider trading him, I'd be like, yeah, I think they should. What do you think?
I'd be like, maybe. No, the investigation, 100%. They should be looking at everything.
Okay, here's the thing.
Right now.
Okay.
If they
could get a first-round draft pick and a solid right-shot defenseman prospect, now it would be the Rangers draft pick, so it's not going to be a top 10 pick, but would you do that deal?
First-round pick and a prospect?
Like a good, solid, really projects well as a top 4 right-shot defenseman, would you do it?
See, I hate putting it in the context of, is it this? Because the reality of it is, and I think that was one of the big takeaways from Saravalli's clip, was you don't know what someone's willing to pay until they tell you what they're willing to pay. The Leafs trade for Nick Foligno, in retrospect.
This is Halford's way of avoiding the question.
I'm just talking.
When you think about life in general.
is anything a really good return?
Because we all die in the end.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah. The players that you get, they're going to go and retire too.
You are filibustering.
I am, big time. I would say if it's in that realm. Now, again, to put another caveat on this. First round pick from the Rangers sure looks a lot different than a first round pick from the Habs or one of the bottom feeders, right?
Yes,
so
it does.
So that's another thing you have to take into consideration as well. These are all things you have to take into consideration. Here's the thing.
Do you think we'll get to an answer? When do you think, like, what's the clock at right now for Halford? Is it, like, since I asked that question, have 7 hours passed?
Rutherford. No, it only sounds like 7 hours when you're doing your bit. Rutherford had made it very clear.
84 years.
And he's still talking. Rutherford made it clear that this is maybe the biggest priority is you got to replenish the loss of draft picks. And I think we've talked ad nauseum about the lack of prospects in the system. So the only logical conclusion, as we've said time and time again, is how are you going to fill it? It's going to be a trade.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to get traded? Well, take a look at the contracts that are coming up. It's going to be Besser this year, and it's going to be Horvat and Miller the next year. I would say of the three right now, JT Miller is going to get you the biggest return. No disrespect meant to Brock Besser or to Bo Horvat, but right now, JT Miller is going to net you the biggest return. And if that's your goal, which I believe that it is, then I think you have to explore it. And if you're going to get a package like that, where you're going to get a guy that projects to be a top four right-handed defenseman and a first-round pick, you got to pull the trigger on it. And it's going to hurt, and it's going to be painful, and you're not going to like it. Because he's been a really good player for the Canucks, JT Miller, this is. Mm-hmm. And he probably would continue to be until his contract expired, because you're going to get his year 28, 29, and then right before he hits 30. But this is a give-to-get league. Quite frankly, this is a give-to-get industry, right? You can fleece people in trades, but you do it once. You don't usually do it again, because no one likes getting fleeced. You want something good in return? Something has to go out the other way. It's an unfortunate piece of business, but it's where the Canucks are in their competitive window.
It's funny when you were eventually answering the question, mm-hmm. and you concluded that JT Miller would earn you the biggest return of Besser and Horvat and JT Miller. I was kind of like, really? What?
You don't think?
Well, I don't know. I think Horvat would render a big return, but I really do wonder about Brock Besser, because I think there's like a wide variance of opinions in the market about just how good a player he is.
Well, remember, hold on. There's also his contract situation.
Pending RFA, he's going to need to get paid.
Part of the value of JT Miller is that he's got term left at a very reasonable cap.
But here's the thing. You can't argue with JT Miller's production this year, right?
Oh, like he's an 80-point guy.
He's produced. Yeah. Besser hasn't. Besser's got 10 goals in 35 games. And I know he looked better, and he has looked better under Bruce Boudreau, and we all talked about how different Besser looks when Boudreau took over. It's not like he's filling the net. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got 19 points in 35 games. Last season, he had 23 goals in 56 games, which is good production. Over an 82-game season, that's a 30-goal production, right? Mm-hmm. The season before wasn't so good, right? So we're not talking about a guy over the last 3 years that's, you know, 150 games he's scored, I don't know, like 40 goals, right?
Well, that's why
I go back and forth on Besser, because I really do like him as a player. I think he's a smart player. But I don't know if I'd call him like an elite sniper.
Well, that's why I wouldn't put him, when you're talking about potential return, I wouldn't even put him in the same conversation as Miller, to be quite honest. I think he's a good 25, maybe 30 goal scoring winger. But I don't know how long that's going to be, because I don't think he's getting any faster.
Yeah.
I think he...
It's just when he came into the league, you remember how the excitement in Vancouver about Brock Besser, and that was, of course, because there wasn't... Well, first of all, he was good, but second of all, there wasn't much in the Canucks organization at the time.
Yep.
People hadn't heard of Elias Pettersson, and Quinn Hughes hadn't been drafted then. His first 9 games, he scores 4 goals, and then the following season, he followed that up, 29 goals in 62 games. That's the best he's looked as a goal scorer.
And he's never played more than 69 nice games in a season. I mean, health's been an issue, too. He's been injured. I think he's probably third on that list in terms of what you can get in return. And that's, again, it's not a indictment
But he's young. But he's younger than JT Miller. He's only still only 24.
That's fine. But a lot of guys are younger than JT Miller. It doesn't mean a hill of beans.
Well, it does mean. It actually means quite a lot.
No, it
in
doesn't.
Terms
not
of
if,
what
not,
you're
not,
willing to give up because
not
you're going
to
get.
I mean, he's just not the same level of player. Like, it's very cut and dry for me. I think he could be a guy that if he was.
What
to
was
get,
JT Miller at 24?
Was
he better or worse than Brock Besser?
I don't know, but we're talking about now. I mean,
okay.
I think
there's some people that would pay up a lot for Brock Besser, depending on the contract that they can re-sign him to.
God bless him if they're going to. I mean, I think it's one that probably only fits a handful of teams
okay.
in a flat cap era, right?
My whole point in this, though, is that I think there is a wide range of opinions on what Brock Besser is. Like, we're going to talk to Drance. Drance loves Besser. Drance uh-huh. thinks he's a really good player, and I'd be curious to talk to him about, like, who's got the most value if you were to trade them? That's like a good poll question that people would freak out over mm-hmm. if we put it out there. I guess we could. But again, people, like, who would garner the biggest return? Horvat, Besser, or JT Miller?
Right.
Let's not put it out on Twitter because I just don't want to deal with it. It's already been a long day.
But I already made my case. I think it's Miller.
But if you want to text into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650, tell us who you think would garner the biggest return of those three. Because let's face it, they've all been bandied about in trade rumors from people that are just discussing the team and don't freak out the moment someone's name comes out. Who would garner? And please just don't text in a name. Just why? Like, why you
Miller.
Think? So, like, you could say JT Miller because he's the best of the three right now, or you could see Besser because he's the youngest and he's got the most potential, or maybe you think like Horvat's a terrific player, he's the captain of the team, he's a good skater. Text them into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. Tanbeer texts in, Besser is overrated in this market. Another one, Besser is a 20 to 25 goal scorer, 55-point guy. That's it. Keith the Water guy, Besser is a second liner.
I don't disagree with
I
don't think
he's, I think it's
I don't
a
think
huge
I don't think he's overrated. I think he's accurately rated. I don't I he's
Well, depending who you ask.
He's a 25-30 goal scorer if he can play a full season, for sure. He's got a high level shot, right? And mm-hmm. that's going to get you a lot of goals in this league. Just from by nature of getting a lot of power play opportunities, getting to play with playmaking centers, et cetera, et cetera. You don't need to be a burner if you've got that good of a shot. But the projections are probably right. By the way, of the three guys, you know who actually has the lowest cap hit? It's Miller. Like, it's not by much. They're all in the sort of 5.5 range, but.
Well, we got a text in JT Miller. We get the greatest return strictly because of his contract
number.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. You're talking about Besser as a guy that's going to get you X amount of goals and probably cap out at a certain level at 5.8. JT Miller is going to get you 80, 85, maybe 90 points with a lower cap hit and an extra year of term on it. So, I mean, for me, it's a layup. It's a no-brainer. It's Miller.
Mike, the urologist from Brockville, one of our favorite texters, JT at the deadline. He's at the peak of his powers, a rare power forward who can push a contending team over the top. The potential to add a guy like JT Miller would be so exciting, too, just because of his versatility. And that's what people were excited for when he came to Vancouver. You're like, oh, here's a guy that can play up and down your lineup. We didn't realize that he'd be just up in Vancouver. He can play the wing. He can play center. He can play big minutes. He can play on the PK. He can play on the power play. He can play anywhere you put him, except goal, probably.
Right.
Maybe defense.
Don't put him in net. Justin, the copier guy. Hey, copier guy. He writes, I'm still waiting for Halford to answer the question if he would trade JT Miller for a top four right-handed defenseman in the first rounder from the Rangers. Be honest, I think you should get more. I mean, the question was, would you...
So is the answer no?
I would turn it down? I'd turn it down and I'd ask for more. I would, but the question originally wasn't that. As Jason continues to blur the lines between fantasy and reality, the question was,
what?
The question you asked me was, would you explore it? And I said, yeah, you got to explore it at this stage of the game. Like, you can't hem and haw and be like, well, he's a really good player.
That
was your first question.
You?
Yeah, it was. And then you came back with a second question about the specific Rangers deal. You should be aiming for more, for sure. This is, again, an elite level scorer in the NHL who's probably in his prime right now. This is some of the best hockey JT Miller's ever played in his career, at least in terms of point.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You should be aiming for the stars.
Sean from Waterloo texts in, Besser's value is hurt by his high qualifying offer. We would need to allow interested teams to negotiate an extension first to maximize his value. If he'll extend with the new team below the qualifying offer, then he could be most valuable. Yeah, I think that would be part of it.
The contract thing's confusing, not in terms of how it gets done. It's pretty straightforward, but it makes the situation more confusing because any acquiring team looks at the qualifying offer, then has to figure out what they want to do contractually. Mm-hmm. Again, it's one of the great things about Miller's contract. It's low cap hit, and you get an extra year. So it's not a rental for this season. Mm-hmm. You're going to get him for an entire another season.
Yeah, I think a contract would probably have to be in place to maximize the value for Besser. Maybe it wouldn't have to be finalized if you trade him in the offseason. Maybe like, yeah, we'll figure it out, right?
It just makes the situation a little bit more confusing because the acquiring team, there's a little bit of uncertainty there. We've seen guys that are on qualifying offers and RFAs been involved in trade talks before, but the reality is it's not as straightforward because the acquiring team either needs to have a deal in place or needs to make the deal themselves. We got a lot more to get into on the program. We can continue this conversation in the 8 o'clock hour. Thomas Drantz, Athletic Vancouver, Canucks hour here on the Halford and Brough Show, Sportsnet 650. He's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Drantzer next, Sportsnet 650.